You are listening to an exclusive podcast on Money Control.
First of all, a very happy Doctor's Day to all listening in. Vaidyo Narayano Harihi is a tenet that is enshrined in Hindu culture. And I'm certain this reverence almost for doctors extends across cultures and religions. But today, we're going to talk not about doctors, although we should be, but we'll do that podcast another time. But we will be talking about another profession that is also held in similar reverence. This is, of course, that of a teacher. Guru Brahma, Guru Vishnu, Guru Devo Maheshwaraha, etc. You know that verse where a guru is likened to the Trinity. There are, of course, hundreds and thousands of quotes you can find about teachers and the primacy of teachers in our lives and indeed in our civilizations. But the question we are trying to ask today is, why are there so few young people wanting to become teachers? Yes, there is a few people who want to be academics and teach in university and posh colleges, etc. But the breed of people who want to teach middle school, high school, and, you know, pre-university courses is dwindling. Why is that? Is it because people don't want to teach as much anymore? Or is it because the profession is not lucrative enough for the millennials? These are some of the questions we will be answering today on this edition of Digging Deeper with Money Control with me, Rakesh Sharma.
The Deep Dive podcast series.
For long, the farmer and the teacher have been revered as the two practitioners who make human life possible and indeed better. Teaching has often been referred to as a noble profession. Indeed, it is the profession that prepares people for most other professions. Over the decades, centuries, and millennia, especially in India, teachers have occupied exalted positions in terms of respect. The original teacher, if one must, referred to as a guru, was more than someone who just imparted structured knowledge. You know, the 3 R's of reading, writing, and arithmetic. He was someone, and unfortunately in the history of our country, it has been a he mostly, he was someone who instilled in his students life skills, physical, mental, psychological abilities that enabled them to be the best version of themselves. Instruction and monitoring were personal, customized, and in the best tradition of the Gurukula system, where the guru was not just teacher, but also father, mother, and indeed, God to the student. But look around you now, and you find teaching among the last career options for the upwardly mobile. While most professional courses attract good talent who then go on to jobs in their chosen lines, teaching is hardly something that you will find children mentioning among their top 3, 5, or even 10 choices as far as a career is concerned. That is surely a matter of concern, especially in a country like India, where millions of children join the school system every year and require the services of good teachers. Didn't you hear recently about how teachers and other public servants in Bhutan were slated to be the highest paid members in the system? Teachers, for a system to function better, for a society to function better, need to be good. So where, how, and when did the prestige and respect for the guru or the teacher come down? It goes without saying that this is a sad state of affairs, because this is the kind of situation that can lead to a fall in quality and a decrease in capability in the generations to come. If you don't invest in good teachers, you are not investing in the country. That is the kind of thing that can have a negative effect on a nation for generations. So why exactly is this the state of affairs? Teaching is, of course, one of the most important vocations, and indeed, it is a timeless vocation. If it is not as preferred a vocation as it ought to be, then it is just a matter of putting things together right, of getting priorities right, of changing the outlook adequately. And it is necessary because, well, it is crucial. A few numbers should lay it out in the right perspective. Almost 10% of India's population is less than 5 years old. In terms of numbers, that is about 125 million children. This is the number that is getting ready to be in school over the next 5 years. On average, this is 25 million children who enter the schooling system every year. And one can expect this situation to continue in the foreseeable future. While that itself is a challenge, statistics show that among those already in school, almost half can't deal with the basic mathematics that they should have learned 3 years before. Their reading and comprehension skills are in the same region, 3 years behind. It is worthwhile asking what kind of generation we are cultivating. While it is possible to look around and identify maybe a handful of factors that are responsible for this state of affairs, at least some of this has to rest with the teachers and their lack of skill in addressing basic problems concerning their wards, or perhaps a lack of inclination. This, when the country faces a shortage of nearly a million teachers. Where are all the teachers? India needs them. Just go back half a century. It isn't all that long time ago, by the way. By this time, 50 years ago, Mughal-e-Azam was already 10 years old. And if you went back to that time, you will find a completely different situation. While we can quibble about the relative quality of teachers then and now, talking to a few people who were in school 50 to 60 years ago will show you that there was a huge difference. Even though school teachers then were much less qualified, often just matriculates, not very many graduates, their knowledge base and their ability to impart knowledge was much superior. They had much better command over their subjects when teacher training was conspicuous by its absence. College teachers, you know, the graduates and the postgraduates, were generally reckoned to be masters of the game, with mathematics and language teachers being very strong in their subject matter. I'm obviously saying this from anecdotal experience, from what I've heard. I do not have empirical evidence for it, but this is something I am certain you have heard too. One reason for this could be the barrier for entry. Those were the days when matriculates or pre-degree holders were low in number, let alone graduates and postgraduates. Only those who were serious about their education and those who wanted to get into a job that required the qualifications, to say nothing about being able to afford it, would go to higher studies or even college studies. Today, with education being free, or so cheap as to be almost free in government institutions, it is possible for anyone who wants an education to get one, which is a wonderful thing, obviously. The only problem there is that of the quality of education. And we come once again to the question of teachers. Many schools themselves are ill-equipped to provide quality education. Once you step out of the urban areas, things deteriorate even further. One routinely comes across reports which talk about schools in rural areas with no buildings, no students, no teachers. It is disturbingly common to find schools, and this is not just in rural areas, where a particular teacher teaches a whole number of subjects which have seldom anything to do with each other. Biology and language, both taught by the same teacher, for example. Or English being taught in the mother tongue, which I understand it is important for one to understand what that text is saying, but it is also important to inculcate the language skills of that child, in which case you would be expected to speak in English, but that doesn't happen. Whether in schools or in colleges, it is common to find teachers who struggle to express themselves and communicate effectively with students. In all this, the system is often at fault. The teachers are not. The issue seems to be a vicious cycle, with an indifferent system producing indifferent teachers who produce students who grow indifferent towards teaching as a profession. And that cycle goes on. Accentuating this problem is that of a huge undersupply of teachers. With bad money chasing bad candidates and vice versa, the situation is in dire need of remedy. We have a situation where teacher quality is bad, and relative to other professions, so is remuneration to a large extent. So, is the lower remuneration a result of the lack of talent in candidates, or is the lack of candidates the result of bad remuneration? Perhaps more pertinently, is it a worthwhile career to pursue in terms of advancement in position and money? Why do we choose the career that we choose? A, we are interested in it, and B, perhaps there is a comfortable life at the end of it. And is the reason that a lot of people are choosing not to be teachers because, well, there isn't a comfortable life? Let's address this question in two parts. We have a scenario where we have government schools and private schools. And even in the private schools, there are the prestigious and the other. As far as a central government school is concerned, teachers' pay after the 7th pay commission is nothing to scoff at. A primary school teacher can expect to be placed in a pay scale starting about 35,000 rupees a month, and a postgraduate teacher starting at about 45,000 rupees a month. With the perks added, this increases by another 30% or so. The story with private school teachers is different and depends on the quality of the school. Pay can be as low as 15,000 rupees. I've in fact heard of 10,000 rupees being the starting pay scale for a lot of teachers in private schools. And it can extend all the way to a couple of lakhs in some really prestigious schools. You know of these schools, I know of these schools. But most private schools are not great paymasters. And you know what the problem in India is? Just like in healthcare, where most of it is actually provided by the private sector, so it is with education. A lot of kids don't go to government schools, they go to private schools, largely ill-equipped, largely underpaying, and largely churning out indifferent students. Another point to note, The approach to teaching as a career can't be all about money. Obviously, if you have an interest in it, is when you go and choose that profession. Otherwise, you're just a pen pusher hating your life like George in Seinfeld. Remuneration is, of course, one thing, but this is one profession where the right candidate is also one who looks for job satisfaction. One of the reasons why teaching has been considered the most noble of professions is that the duty that goes with the profession often goes beyond what is set out in a contract or is generally understood or what lies on your paycheck. One could probably talk about medicine in a similar way. Often, the outcome of both depends on the personal touch, on taking the initiative, on being proactive with the other person in mind. They're both perhaps jobs that not everyone is suited for. Teaching, of course, would differ from medicine in one crucial way. It is unique because of the emotional bond that teachers form with their children, very often lifelong. How many of you have teachers you remember very fondly from your third standard, fourth standard? You remember some and you don't remember others. You know why? Those teachers you remember fondly were those who were good at their jobs, who made an impression, who made an effort to make sure you understood concepts, that you felt safe in their presence, that you felt like you learned something. And the success of the student, to those who are actually serious about teaching, is perhaps the greatest reward for a teacher, even more than money. So there is an attitude, there is a certain person with a certain attitude that is required to take up the profession of teaching. It is simply not for everyone. So if one is to consider the ideal teacher, they would be one who is constantly looking at the welfare of the students over what kind of paycheck they're receiving. And yes, paycheck is just as important, do not get me wrong. Nobody should work for peanuts, because if you pay peanuts, you'll only get monkeys. That's the old saying. Just as important as money may be, a certain kind of personality, a certain kind of attitude is also just as essential for teaching. Most people are likely to know at least a couple of teachers or stories of teachers where they went out of their way in the performance of their duty, often spending their own money or resources, worked overtime in their endeavor to be the best they could for their students. I had teachers like that, and now in retrospect, I am extraordinarily grateful to them. Being this kind of a teacher demands a certain commitment that goes beyond what one might consider the baseline of involvement. And it demands this commitment in a sustained manner and over a long period of time. We are talking about an ideal teacher here who's molding the next generation. That in turn demands capabilities beyond mere knowledge of the subject. It involves the ability to share the knowledge. It involves the ability to inculcate a love of the knowledge in students who might otherwise be not interested in the topic. It involves the ability to constantly challenge the student in a positive manner. All these are true of teaching as a whole, but especially in the context of teaching at school. Talk about the ideal teacher, and the demands, mostly self-induced, are several. But as any thoroughbred teacher, especially from the old school, would say, there is nothing quite like teaching. They say it's like a drug. Once you get a taste for it, and if you're good at it, you will want it forever, and nothing else will do. So the rewards are many in considering teaching a career, again, for the right candidate. That is in terms of intrinsic job satisfaction. The remuneration at the right institution can be more or less commensurate with any other average job, but mostly it is not. Let me say it right out there. Having spoken to and known so many teachers who start out in the private sector, the pay is simply not good. And that, at least I know from my own colleagues and my own peers, is one of the huge deterrents for why people don't take up teaching as a profession. But that's the other thing, it's also not just another job, though that seems to be how it is considered now. In government institutions, teachers get paid better than at most private schools or colleges, except of course the prestigious ones. But given the conditions at most government institutions, job satisfaction beyond the better pay cannot be looked forward to there. Even among government institutions, there are a few exceptions, of course, where both teachers and students approach activities with a certain pride. Nobody is denying that, and we wish and hope that there are more such institutions across the country, but that is unfortunately not the case. For teachers, central government institutions are definitely considerably better than state government schools and colleges in terms of job satisfaction. Facilities are generally better, the atmosphere is generally better, central universities, in fact, offer better infrastructure, and this benefits needs teachers too, intellectually, because their research needs are met in these central universities. This is important because a good part of being a teacher is constant updating of one's knowledge and skills, and the time and space necessary to engage with ideas. Though keeping oneself upskilled is necessary for any profession, in teaching, this is crucial because this knowledge will have to be imparted, and not just the fruits of it, to say nothing of how it could adversely affect students for the long term if there is shortcoming or fault in the sharing. Think about science, for example. The science we used to learn about 15 years ago in school now seems almost outdated. Yes, the basics remain the same, but there's been so much advancement in terms of information technology or biology or genetics that what I studied in high school now seems almost antiquated. So the problem here is this. For somebody deciding upon what profession to choose in their early 20s, just out of college, teaching can be a lucrative option. But we don't think of it as a lucrative option because of the stories we hear. There is simply not enough pay. And even if you do want to take a pay cut and want to work at institutions to help your fellow man and to help build the future generations, you're stuck in institutions where even the basic infrastructure is not in place. So it is a rather murky situation. So for those who do want to take up the profession, the pay is too low, the infrastructure too bad. And to those who do end up taking the profession, often they might simply not be suited for it. So this is a bit of a catch-22 that we are stuck at as far as taking up teaching as a profession goes. Is it a lucrative position? Yes, it can be in certain institutions. Are you the sort of person who looks for job satisfaction more than a paycheck? Well, then great. If teaching is the sort of skill that you have, you must take it up. But can it also be disheartening because of the lack of facilities involved? Yes, that is also true. We only recently saw the case of Atishi Marlena, who was taking a rupee as an honorarium and was spearheading the upgrading, so to speak, of schools in Delhi, who was, well, defeated in the Lok Sabha elections. And it can be a bit disheartening when you listen to stories like that. Here is a woman who seems to have dedicated her life for the betterment of school children and school and the school system, and it's not getting rewarded. And many youngsters who often look for a fairly flashy life, because, you know, at that age, that's precisely what we all wanted, can look at that and say, she tried to be all that, but no one wanted her. So perhaps that is not for me either, because there's nothing in it. So this is the situation where we are stuck at. Unless there is a system which values teachers, remunerates them appropriately, and there is a culture in schools where teaching is hyped up as a profession to seek, as a profession that guarantees job satisfaction, perhaps we'll see a change. But otherwise, it is rather a dire situation. In the final analysis, where does teaching stand as a profession or career to be considered by the 20-something fresh out of college and looking for a job type of person? Just to reiterate the point I have made several times now, it is the best job for the right candidate. There's a lot to be expected by way of job satisfaction, wider perspectives, increased empathy, an opportunity to constantly learn and upskill, and a chance to make a positive difference in the lives of hundreds of youngsters. For, as one might have gathered by now, teaching is a matter of not just basic ability, but also of mentality, of a certain kind of aptitude, of a certain kind of attitude. Without aptitude, teaching would be a commitment that achieves very little, both for the teacher and the pupil. And in this case, the candidate would be not just inadequate, but perhaps even detrimental. Again, as I said earlier, at the right place, the right candidate can expect decent pay. Though frankly and fairly, it has to be a whole lot more. In government colleges and universities, a teacher with 15 years experience can expect to earn upwards of 1 lakh rupees per month. And again, I think that's not enough. This also comes with perks like a relaxed workload, the concept of annual holidays, and the promise of a normal life. All that is great, but you still need to have a system where the infrastructure is in place, where it feels like you're doing a good job, where it feels like you're being rewarded. Unless the government starts spending more on education, both at the state and the central level, you will not attract good teachers. And you know what you're doing when you're not attracting good teachers? You're creating a bad country. That is as simple as that. In a country like India especially, it would be the hope, if not the logical way forward, for teaching to be recognized as one of the most valued professions, and steps ought to be taken for it to attract the best talent. It isn't enough to say Guru Brahma, Guru Vishnu. You have to treat them like they're Brahmas and Vishnus. This is one point where idealism and practicality could meet and coexist in the most worthwhile manner. you know what? It benefits everyone. People in the education sector, the powers that be that grant the money, etc. They're looking at short-term benefits by not allocating a certain amount of money in the budget to the education system, or indeed by being venal and pilfering a bit of that money into their own pockets. They're looking just at short-term. Their children are going to be taught by bad teachers. Why bad teachers? Because they were simply not trained enough in the system. Look at the long-term, and everybody is a winner. Because why? The future needs it. And not just that, the future demands it. Do let me know if you're a young person trying to figure out your career, what you think of teaching as a career choice. Do you think you're suited for it? If so, why? If you do think you're suited for it and are still not interested in taking it up, let us know why. I know there are lots of programs these days where you get a taste of what teaching could be like. You know, Teach for India is a fantastic idea. But so many people who are TFI fellows, that is Teach for India fellows, don't go on to take up teaching as a profession. Why do you think that is? If you are one such, you can always write into us, mcpodcast@nw18.com. Until the next time you hear from me, this is me, Rakesh Sharma, on behalf of the Money Control Podcast Desk, saying thank you for joining us, and do stay with us on moneycontrol.com to be a smart listener and an even smarter investor.
This has been a Digging Deeper podcast, and you have been listening to Money Control.